Alhamdulillah kafa wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina al-mustafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين صدق الله العظيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Every year, we listen to the incident that had taken place in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him by instructing him to slaughter his only son, his only child at that time. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was termed the Khalil of Allah, Khalilullah, the very close and special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have mentioned that there are many reasons for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam being termed and called the close and special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the reasons is, the main reason is that he sacrificed so much in his life. The father of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who we all know his name was Azar, he was a person who used to sell idols. He used to deal in idols. Obviously, he believed in it and he also dealt in it. He used to instruct Azar, the father of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, used to instruct his son Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in his infancy, while him being small, him being a child, to take those idols and sell it in the marketplaces. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was to be a prophet. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And similarly, every single prophet was protected from the childhood days. Our Rasulullah, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from his childhood days, was protected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. How many times his chest was opened, his heart was cleaned out, and he was protected of all evils that could ever come up and crop up and be inculcated in anybody's life. Similarly, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was protected from Allah Ta'ala's side. When he used to take these idols to go and sell it, as it was an instruction of his father, he used to obey his father, but not in a way that his father wanted it from him. When he used to advertise and call out the people to buy those idols, he used to mention to them, who is prepared to buy that idol which cannot benefit, which cannot harm, which cannot speak, which cannot hear, and which has no benefit in it? Now obviously, if a person is selling an article and he has to advertise it in this way, nobody will be prepared to buy it. As a result, his father used to become very angry with him and used to beat him and used to harm him and cause taklif to him in all ways. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sacrificed all this and he remained very, very firm. Being a prophet of Allah, but he came from a house where his father was a non-Muslim. It does not mean that a person's father and ancestors have to be of a pious background. The lineage has to be pious, and then only the child can become pious and righteous. It is not necessary. But by the parents being pious, it helps and assists in the piety of the child. In the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there were two Musas at that time. One was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and one was Musa bin Zafar, who was termed as Samiri. Allah Ta'ala calls him in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions his name in the Quran Sharif, As-Samiri. His name in reality was Musa bin Zafar. Just to mention this one point, that it does not necessarily mean when a person is brought up, even though his parents can be whatever they be, but when Allah Ta'ala wants to give hidayah to a person, He can give it to him without his, even his parents being on the right path. But it does not mean that the parents must not be like that. Rather, the parents should be on the right path that will assist the child to be in the right path. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, a person had seen a dream. He was a fortune teller, and he made up a dream where he went and told Fir'aun that a child will be born, a male child, a boy will be born, and this child will be the means of your kingdom going away, of being snatched away from you. As a result, Fir'aun, the oppressive king, instructed his people to slaughter every child, every male child, every boy that was born. But when Allah Ta'ala wants to protect somebody, nobody can do anything. Nobody can come in the way of the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can obstruct the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. He was placed into a box. He was sent down the river of Nile. He's at the age of being 3 to 4 months old. Fir'aun picked him up, and Fir'aun brought him up in his palace. He stayed with Fir'aun, the oppressive king, who wanted to slaughter every child and every boy. For 30 years of his life, he remained with Fir'aun. And he then became the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the age of 40. And he was the one who then took his people through the sea. But Fir'aun was the one who was drowned, despite him being brought up by Fir'aun. On the contrary, was Musa bin Zafar Samiri, who was also a child at that time. Allah Ta'ala inspired his mother to take him on a very high mountain where he was protected. It is mentioned by the ulama that Jibreel alayhi salam used to feed this child. When Allah Ta'ala wants to do something, as I mentioned, Allah Ta'ala does it whichever way He wants. There's nothing can come into His way, into His path, to protect a person, to look after any person, however He wants. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ Allah Ta'ala is the one who does whatever He wishes. Whatever He wants, Allah Ta'ala does it however He wants it. Nothing comes into His way. Nothing can protect, nothing can stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from doing whatever He wants. So this child Musa bin Zafar Samiri was kept on a very high mountain to be protected from Fir'aun, from being slaughtered by Fir'aun. And Jibreel alayhi salam used to feed this Samiri. But when he grew up, he was fed by Jibreel, looked after by the angels. He was brought up by the angels. But when he grew up, he was the means of the Bani Israel being misled. By him, Samiri, then creating and making and shaping out a calf which was made of gold. Wherever Jibreel alayhi salam used to travel, wherever he used to sit, life used to come into that sand, into that path that he had sat upon or he had moved upon. When Musa bin Safar Samiri saw this, he kept some of that sand. And when he carved a calf out of gold, he placed some of this sand into the mouth of that calf, which was in reality no calf, he had no life, but it began to make some sound. As a result, people began obeying that, and people thought that to be their god. But on the contrast, we find Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah, was brought up by Fir'aun, but became the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the other Musa bin Zafar, who was Samiri, was brought up by the angels, but he became a non-Muslim and became the means of so many people being Muslim. So similarly, Ibrahim alayhi salam, I was mentioning that he sacrificed a lot. He sacrificed his family. His own father was a non-Muslim. He used to sell idols. He sacrificed his own son. Obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then changed everything. But he was prepared to sacrifice his own son. Up to the extent that the ulama have mentioned, that if Allah Ta'ala had instructed Ibrahim alayhi salam to even slaughter his own self for the sake, for the hukam of Allah, because Allah Ta'ala had instructed him, Ibrahim alayhi salam had that spirit of sacrifice in him to that extent that he would even sacrifice his own self for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main lesson that we learn from Qurbani. One is just to remember the story. One is just to hear the story. But the moral behind it is, the spirit of sacrifice, whenever Qurbani comes, should be revived in us. Should always be inculcated into our lives at all times, especially every year when Qurbani comes. Inculcate that spirit of sacrifice. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how much they sacrificed. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much he sacrificed for this deen. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making sajda in the Haram Sharif right by the Kaaba. A person brings in entrails of a camel and places it on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't even pick up his head. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first Khalifa of Islam, he was giving da'wat and inviting the people towards Islam in the Haram, right by the Kaaba. A person comes to him and beats him with a double sole, very thick double sole shoe. Beats him to the extent, hatta ma yu'rafu wajhu min anfihi, his face from his nose and his nose from his face could not be recognized. The people around him, la yashukkuna fi mawtihi, they had no doubt that he had passed away. So severely this person had beaten him. They carried him to wherever they had to take him, to his house. When he regained consciousness, they had no doubt that he had passed away. They felt he was dead, but in reality he was unconscious. When he regained consciousness, the first words was, ma fu'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma fa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What has happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sacrificing for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrificing for Islam. But the first question when he regains consciousness is, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This was his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people told him, he is safe, salimun salihun, he's safe and sound. There is no problem, there is no, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is safe. Be concerned about yourself. He replied to them, still sacrificing for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being in that state where his face from his nose and his nose from his face couldn't be recognized, being in a state where the people around him had no doubt that he had passed away, he still mentioned, فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَلَّا أَذُوقَ طَعَامًا وَلَا أَشْرَبَ شَرَابًا أَوْ آتِيَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ. I take a qasam by Allah, I take an oath by Allah, he said, I will not eat anything, I will not drink anything until I go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I see with my own eyes. He forced them, they carried him, he could not even walk. They carried him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They dragged him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, began tearing, and then he felt nice. Then he felt well in himself. This was the spirit of sacrifice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had. A person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, ya Rasulullah, I am destitute, I am poor, help me, assist me, give me some food to eat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time, obviously in the masjid, did not have anything. He sent a person to his home, and to all his wives, to request him to send something to the masjid to feed this poor person. This person that went, each house, every house he went of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reply was, we have nothing in the house but water. Nothing in the house but water. When this message came back from all his homes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who of you are prepared to be the host of this guest? A person without even thinking immediately stood up, said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will be the host, I am ready to be the host and entertain this guest of yours. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then sent this person to that person's home. That person didn't even think, he didn't even know how much food he had. But the reality was, he hardly had any food at home. He made it such that he did not eat much, but he fed this person, showing this person he was eating, but in reality he hardly ate. He sacrificed it. He had that spirit of sacrifice, giving others preference over one's own self. As a result, Allah Ta'ala was so pleased. Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave others preference over themselves. They sacrificed their comforts. They gave others preference over themselves, even though they had poverty in their houses. One Sahabi sends the head of an animal as a gift to his neighbor. When it goes to that neighbor feels that my neighbor is more deserving. He then sends it to the third person, to his neighbor, that is, to him it was a second person, but in reality it was a third person. From there it went, that person felt, my neighbor is more deserving. It went to the fourth, fifth, and until it went to the seventh home. From the seventh home, it came back to the first person who had sent it. That person then realized that I gave preference to my neighbor over myself, and now this has come back to me. What spirit of sacrifice the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had in themselves, giving others preference over themselves. Allah Ta'ala has placed this ummah at this time in such a situation that every one of us have to be prepared. As the times will get worse, closer to Qiyamah, definitely the times will get worse. We all have to have and inculcate at all times the spirit of sacrifice in our lives. Whether it be that we sacrifice ourselves, our lives, whether we sacrifice our wealth, whether we sacrifice any other faculty, whether it be our intelligence, whether it be whatever other means we have, whatever we have, the spirit of sacrifice must be in our lives. Allah Ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, in regards to the true believers, who are they? Those alladhina amanu billahi wa rasuli, those who believe in Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wajahadu bi amwalihim wa anfusihim fi sabilillah. They strive in the path of Allah. They exert themselves in the path of Allah with their own selves and their wealth. It is not restricted to any specific way of striving, whether it be monetarily, whether it be in ourselves for jihad, whether it be for da'wat and tabligh, or whichever way it be. But the spirit of sacrifice must be in our lives. Only when we will have the true spirit of sacrifice and jihad in our lives, then we can really be termed as true believers. Allah Ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. They are the true people. They are the true ones who truly believe in Allah, who truly can claim to have Islam in their lives. It is easy to say we are Muslims. It's easy to say we have Iman in our lives. But where is it? Where is the spirit of sacrifice which Rasulullah ﷺ had, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had? As I mentioned in the beginning, Ibrahim a.s. was termed the Khalilullah. One of the main reasons was the true friend of Allah was because he sacrificed so much for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we inculcate in our lives and always keep the spirit of sacrifice in our lives. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.